CliffCentral.com. Welcome back to the YLP on Cliff Central, and as per usual, at the bottom of the hour, we have the amazing showcasing talent segment. And you are chilling with me again, Bongani and Chanel, and we have a guest host in the building.
We have an amazing guest host.
Hello, 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 everyone. Hello. My name is Fancy Mike. Okay. My name is Sandile Nyembe. I'm from Pram City, and feel very welcome to be here.
Which hood are you representing, dog?
I'm representing Soweto Tladi. Very deep parts of Soweto. But yeah, lots of talent back there as well.
Oh, we're glad to have you.
Yeah. And as per usual, the YLP is brought to you by Student Brands and Leadership Platform. Shout out to Sasha for putting everything together. We love you, Sasha.
Love you too.
With this segment, we have a very amazing guy. He's a musical maestro. His name is Sketchy Bongo. And, you know, what I love about him is that you have a lot of producers in South Africa, and a lot of them are trying to sound the same.
Yes.
They're trying to do something that's similar to the next person. And a lot of them are copying a lot of the producers from abroad. But here's one guy that...
And he's truly South African in every sense of the word.
That is very true. And he stuck to his guns and he said, you know what, I'll produce a sound unique to me. And bam.
And we love him.
Everybody's dancing to Sketchy Bongo. And if you don't know who we're talking about, you might remember him from the song playing in the background. Check this out. Is Let You Know by Sketchy Bongo and Shekinah, our very own. Sketchy Bongo hails from KwaZulu-Natal, and he's a producer, music producer at that.
And amazing DJ.
Amazing DJ as well. And he has done amazing things. He's brought us Let You Know, which Shekinah has led us. He's brought us... Take Me Back to the Beach.
Yes.
With, Kyle
and Shekinah as well.
And later on, we're going to play a Jimmy Nevis one with him as well. So welcome to the show, Sketchy.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. How's it?
I'm good, man.
Thank you so much for being on the show. It's truly, truly an honor.
Thanks so much for inviting me on the show.
Chanel is such a fan.
I am.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody listening. How you guys doing?
Nah, we good, buddy. So we used to the guy who's the producer, who's always on the stage, who's bringing us hits, but who's the guy behind the mask? Would you care to introduce yourself, buddy?
I'm Sketchy Bongo. I'm a music producer. I'm a DJ. I'm a musician. That's what I am. That's who I am.
And that's your stage name. And
yeah.
So from KwaZulu-Natal, who do they know you as apart from the producer?
They know me as Sketchy Bongo, the producer.
is always behind the mask.
Yeah, everybody just calls me Sketchy, so yeah.
How did the mask thing come about now that we're in that?
The mask actually came about when I was producing a song. I was in a music video for one of the other Wolfpack members. So Wolfpack is a creative collective that we're part of here in Durban. And we were shooting a music video, and one of the cars that they were spinning, there was a balaclava in the back seat of the car. I don't know where it came from. But
you were just like, I'm putting that on my face.
Yeah, that just became the persona. So, yeah.
So where did your love for music begin?
Well, I started playing piano when I was about 10 years old, doing classical piano, learning this stuff, and I was listening to a lot of hip-hop and house and dance music as well at the same time. And actually, I met A1 Wolf when I was in high school. So we went to the same school together, and we just started making a lot of music because he was rapping, and I was, like, making these beats. So we put the two together, and we started recording on, like, just, like, whatever we could find, just making, like, these dodgy recordings. Back then, it wasn't like nowadays. You can buy stuff like recording equipment. It's actually quite cheap. Like every second producer has like a studio in their bedroom.
Mm.
But back then, it was more expensive and stuff. So we just like made it work. However, and yeah, we just made tracks, and we're still making tracks today.
What are some of your highlights from those days? Your glory moments?
Well, I produced for Slicker. Slicker from Squatter Camp, he was dropping mixtapes. The mixtapes were called Ventilation Mixtapes. I did a few tracks on there. I worked with Squatter Camp. I worked with a few guys back in the day, but that was purely like behind the scenes stuff, just production and that kind of thing. But that was probably the best thing for me. Like Slicker, just like he helped us out so much, just teaching us how, besides just the music, but also the business side behind the stuff, because there's everybody's out there to try and catch artists, you know.
And a lot of people, you know, they don't get exposed to such stories behind the massive names that we know and love and appreciate the music. What are some of the lessons that you learned from Slicker, from that relationship?
How to differentiate between a creative relationship and a business relationship, especially when it comes to dealing with brands. And like everybody now is on the hip hop is like the new Kwaito, like how Kwaito was a few years back.
Yeah.
And Kwaito just became so commercial, and they bought into all this branding and stuff, and it just became this product that everybody, they actually sold themselves short. And that was like one of the things that led to the demise of Kwaito being like something so big in pop culture. And now hip hop has taken over from the, and now guys, the younger guys, they earn millions of rands, and they smarter purely because, I'm not only talking about Slicker, but there's so many people that like Coolie Chana, the WHP, like there's so many people that just spread their wisdom to the younger guys. And it's just helped so much. So I can just imagine, like, in the next 10 years or so, like, whatever the next big thing is, people are just going to, we're just going to get this industry just getting bigger and better, purely because artists are getting more educated from the mistakes that people made before. Like, I'm pretty sure right now we're making some mistakes.
Yeah.
You're gonna learn from them. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, just people need to be willing to help the next person always, and always looking for new talent and things like that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Sketchy. Sans here.
How's it, man?
Yeah. Just like speaking on like the great legends that have came in the game. You as an artist, what type of impact do you wanna make to the kids in terms of, as a overall message by Sketchy? What type of in terms of your art, what type of message do you want to relate to the kids?
I just want people to understand that anything is possible. You can do anything with whatever you have. Like, you don't need to have the best, like everybody's making music on their laptops. You don't need to have the best laptop. You don't need to have anything. Like, I remember when we were working a couple of years back, like Witness the Funk, I don't remember David Momusa and all those tracks.
Yeah, sure.
The guy that was, we were working with, a guy called Charlie. So Charlie's in WTF now. He's pretty well off now, but back in the day he had like no money, and we were just like, we had these laptops that we were just getting, like they were super slow and to get them like however we could get them and whatever, and just working. And even though they, like, you've got all these hindrances, you must just keep doing it and keep working hard, because you can get anything if you're willing to put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody thinks people like pop up overnight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm using the WTF example. Like, with them, everybody heard Momusa and they thought this is the guy's first song. But yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. We've been, like, A1 Wolf and myself and Charlie from WTF, we're working for many years before that, doing different types of music, doing different stuff. WTF, like, you go actually go and research them, like, on the internet, so you'll find out that you'll never expect the music. But then they made, like, indie rock songs. Like, like Charlie is, like, the most diverse producer I've ever met, actually.
Yeah.
And he was doing so much stuff. He actually produced a track on Casper's first album with Kyle Tage.
Yeah.
It's called Alive.
Gee.
So, and that thing is an acoustic, like, Casper's rapping on it, but it's essentially just acoustic guitar and Kyle singing on it and Casper rapping. So, yeah, that's the thing. And that track there, we actually recorded in, I don't even remember where it's, but it was like, oh yeah, it was at Kyle's house. Kyle had a shed, using a shed in the house.
Oh, gee.
to record the guitars and Kyle's vocals. And next thing was on Casper's album, because Charlie just gave it to him.
Nice.
And like, nowadays we don't really do things like that, because there's so, like, everything's so controlled and legalized. Like, at that time, I don't even know who Casper was.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who Casper was. And like, we were like, Charlie said, I'm giving this track to Casper. And we're like, no, don't give it to this guy. We don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
We're going to keep the track and release it ourselves. And we didn't do that. And it actually worked out, because it built such a good relationship with us and the guys from Family Tree. So yeah, that was nice.
And you know, a lot of the kids these days, they don't get to hear such narratives. They think that you just need a good studio with all the equipment, and then you just make a hit, and then you're out there and you're doing amazing things. So growing up, who was that one producer that you looked up to, or it could be a couple of them?
What I really like, there was a guy called Stethoscope.
Okay.
An American producer. I don't know what he's doing right now. I've never met the dude. But he produced, there was a track, he used to produce a lot of DJ Spoon stuff that came out. He produced a lot on the Squatter Camp stuff. He also produced a lot for Slicka and Sugar Smacks and those guys. And he was a crazy producer, like one of the best. And also Bongani Fassi, who did all the Josie stuff. Amazing producer. And he was like super influential. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a track called On Fire by Deleuze.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it was like 2009, 2010. Like that thing there, when A1 and myself, we were actually in a group called Silverback. And then it became Skyrock Nation. We signed a deal with JR at that time.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
and yeah, that track was like super influential for us back in the day. Like, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you two questions, but I'm going to start with the producer influence. How has that, like, influenced your design process in making beats? Like, because you're making a unique sound with Shekinah and... Mm.
So you want to know, like with Shekinah, so I met Shekinah through Kyle. So Kyle I was working with for a few years, then he went and did Idols, and he met Shekinah there at Idols, so he brought her to the studio, and I really liked her voice. I was like, hey, and then we fired, and I was always seeing her because she was in Durban at that time, and so we were always just seeing each other, kind of the studio, and we made a whole lot of stuff. But the way I work as a producer, I don't really make beats on my own and play. I used to do that when I had more time. Like I prefer now, and I feel like I make a better product when I have people in the studio and I vibe with artists, because I work very quickly. So I just, like, if she kind of comes in, she'll come in with like maybe a melody line or something, then I'll put some piano on that or something, and we'll just build it up from there. Drop some bass and drums and.
Yeah.
That's how I prefer to work, rather than creating something before. But I know, like producers like Gemini, for example, Jim just has, like, on his computer, he just has so many beats, like, sitting on his computer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and, like, I've been working with Gemini as well, like, for many years. And he's more of the type that likes to sit on his own. He doesn't like to have people around. He has to put his headphones on in the studio so we can't even hear what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he'll make beats like that, and then you'll play it for me. And I'm like, okay, cool, that's nice. Let's work with that idea. So it's different for every producer, you know?
Oh, okay. You said you had a deal with JR. Like, a lot of artists who are coming in, like, they're so eager to get deals, and, I mean, they... of course the deals are like a co-sign to gain more reach and stuff. But what type of advice can you give to artists on the type of deal they should make and the type of foresight they should have in signing deals?
This is what I think when it comes to South African artists and signing record deals. In my personal opinion, if you really have the time and you're good at business,
yeah,
I think you should do the research on the internet, find out everything you need to know about the South African music industry. Like, the industry is so young, and we like if you compare us not even to like overseas or America, Europe, if you compare us to countries in Africa, I'm just talking about like Nigeria Ghana and stuff. Those countries, their economy may not be as good as us, but their music industry is huge. Like, Nigerian music industry makes billions of dollars. Like, I'm talking US dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they have a billion-dollar industry. We don't have that in South Africa. We don't have that at all. But in South Africa, the thing is, because we're so young, there's so many different things. I've been unsigned for many years.
Yeah,
I signed an international deal purely because it was an international deal, and there's so many perks to it.
Mm.
Yeah.
But if you look at A1, you look at Chicana, and you look at Kyle Gage, those three artists who I work with a lot, they're not signed to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're independent artists, and we've been doing it ourselves.
Cool.
We know how to get in touch with the TV stations, the radio stations.
Mm.
We create good music.
Yeah.
And I think that helps as well, just having really, if you have good music, it's easier to push that to your media outlets and get interviews rather than if you're trying and you don't know what you're really doing. But it's also getting saturated, especially for hip hop artists in South Africa. So like I'd stay independent, and I try my hardest to stay independent as possible and not sign any contracts. Like, I don't know if you know, what's that? I don't know which Nasty C song, that's Hell No, one of their releases.
Yeah.
There's nothing I hate more than a contract,
because
the contract limits you in the long run, especially as an artist. And the way the industry works now, everything's social media. Like, I wouldn't have been able, like, Back to the Beach, let you know, none of these songs would have gotten to the level or as big they were in the country if it wasn't for social media.
Mm.
And when you sign contracts, like, there's so many limitations to what you can do on social media and how you release music. Like, A1 just dropped his album, like, 2 days ago, or last year. I'm not sure when he dropped it, but recently he just dropped his album. And he did that himself. He didn't have to ask anyone's permission. He didn't have to ask anything. Mm. He just did it.
Yeah.
That was what he did. And when you go through a label, there's so many contracts you got to sign to even just get a track out. It's like, it's a process. And in this country and at this time, people just want the music now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the kids eat up the music. Like, you drop a single, it'll be hot today. Nasty C drops a song today, it's hot next day. AKA got a new song out.
Yeah.
And that's the new hot song. And that's how it is. You can't be waiting for things to happen. So I think when you're young and you're starting, just don't sign. That's what I would say. Like, don't get excited about record labels and stuff.
And record deals. So what kind of record deal do you have with Ultra Music and Sony?
With Ultra and Sony, so I'm signed as an artist to Ultra in the States. So Let You Know was the first single that we dropped with Ultra, and that's distributed worldwide.
Okay.
It's on MTV.
Yeah. Congrats, dude.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It got so much exposure. Like, Trezor, I don't know if you know Trezor,
he's
a singer as well. And Trezor got the same deal with Ultra, and so does Black Coffee.
Hmm.
So we all just signed these deals at the beginning of last year, and it's been doing well. Like, Black Coffee is Black Coffee, so
he's
been doing. And Trezor and myself, we've been getting a few international shows. Trezor actually had a number one single in Italy.
Gee.
So that was crazy for him. Like, I don't know how that happened, but they love him out there in Italy. So he's actually going on a tour this year for an Italian tour. Like he's doing like 5 cities in Italy. But I've also been doing some shows in New York and LA when I went up last year with A1.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just nice just to start building up the thing. And also, with the international deals compared to, like, if I signed to a major in South Africa, like, there's so many majors. I don't like mentioning the majors on the radio, but if you sign to the majors, in South Africa, they don't give you an upfront fee, so you don't get any money upfront. There's other labels, independent labels that are buying people like supercars and whatever. Those are the upfront labels. But like the majors don't sign do that. But overseas, doesn't matter what label you sign to, pretty much every label gives you an upfront. And so that was another reason why I also signed to the international business, because the upfront fee that they gave me was pretty decent.
It allowed you to do a lot of stuff.
That's the thing. Like, I still wouldn't sign to a South African major label here, even if they were giving me whatever. Yeah. The independents, on the other hand, they do more because you have less artists, you have more people focused on you. So if you look at like we've just started a record label. Evan Wolf and myself have a record label called Wolfpack X.
Okay.
And we've just signed two artists. That's the other thing as well. Back to the point about signing as a South African. The only reason I would ever sign as a South African artist is if you are completely an artist. You don't know anything else besides making music and you're good at that. If you don't know about the business and you have no intention of knowing about the business, all you want to do is make music, then sign a deal, because there's no other way you're going to do. You're not going to blow up. Even if you're releasing your music on Twitter and you've got like 500 fans or whatever, that's not going to make you blow up. You need some business people backing you and helping you along the way.
You know,
that's the only reason I would ever say. But yeah,
it's not only on the music front that you have been making waves on social media for, but recently you did something. You popped the question, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. And
thanks so much, man.
Man, your music has so much impact on the youth of South Africa. And I think what influenced the decision of bringing you to the Youth Leadership Platform is that we want such creative artists and people who have a positive impact to the youth to come through to the show
and inspire others.
Exactly, to engage with our youngsters. And you know, going out, what's your word of advice to any youth, whether they want to get into the music industry or whatever goals they may have in life? And then run us through your how we can get a hold of you on social media.
My advice to anybody that's trying to make it in any industry is to just work hard, work smart as well. Some people focus all the energy on the wrong things. Look at whatever you're doing, whether it's music, whether it's business, whatever it is. Look at set goals. Look at the goals that you want to achieve and work out the route to get to those goals. Don't do anything that detracts from your goals. So don't have any bad influences. Don't hang out with people that detract from you actually achieving what you want to achieve. At the end of the day, you have this life, and you have to do what you need to do. You need to live the best life you can, and you need to have the best people in your life. So have the best people in your life, focus on your goals, set goals, and achieve them. That's my advice to anybody.
Great. But, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man. And it's how do we get a hold of you on social media? What are your social media handles?
I'm on everything. I think better than handles these days, people must just search for the person. You can just search Sketchy Bombo. I think it's just easier. I don't even look for handles. All right, cool, guys.
Thanks a lot, man, for pulling in and living up to your promise and joining us in the studio for the show. And
thank you
listeners,
for having me on the show.
Awesome, man. Shout out to you, buddy. We'll be looking forward for your material for 2017 and going forward. So to our listeners at home, it has been great chilling with you. We hope that you'll join us same time, which is 2 p.m. every single Monday. It's the Youth Leadership Platform. Youth Leadership Platform on Facebook, YLP Cliff Central on Twitter and Instagram. Adios, good day, and God bless. CliffCentral.com